Daddy, we thank you because you have started with us. You have kept us. You have shown your faithfulness to your people. My Daddy and my God, I pray that every life here this morning will be touched by your word in Jesus' name. Lord, there's somebody here who's waiting for this moment. There's somebody whose destiny depends on the next 1 hour. My Daddy and my God, meet such at the very point of their need in Jesus' name. Even though they may not realize it, the word that they will hear now may be the destiny changer that they are looking for. My Daddy and my God, let there be a connection between the spirit of your word and that person in the name of Jesus. Lord, at the end of this service, nobody will remain the same way they have come. But Daddy, even as your word says, ministers, flames of fire going from glory to glory, so shall your children go from glory to glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. By the special grace of God, I want to share a message with us. This message I've shared with us before, but God has impressed it on my mind to share it again. In fact, I had very ample time to prepare a message, but I believe that this is what God wants us to hear, so that we might partake of the reward that God has for the elect. It's so crucial at this time that we know what God expects of us and that we are not found wanting. I want us to open our Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 32. I'm going to read from verse 25 to 29. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. And the message is titled, Those on the Lord's Side. Those on the Lord's Side. Those on the Lord's side. Are you on the Lord's side? Are you on the Lord's side? I am on the Lord's side. When you are on the Lord's side, the Lord will be on your side. From today, the Lord will be on your side, because you will be on the Lord's side in the name of Jesus. Exodus 32, verse 25 to 29. And when Moses saw that the people were unruly and unrestrained, for Aaron had let them get out of control, so that they were a derision, an object of shame among their enemies. You will not be an object of shame among your enemies in the name of Jesus. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, let him come to me. And all the Levites, say all the Levites, and all the Levites, the priestly tribe, gather together to him. How many of us are of a priestly tribe here? If you know that you know, that indeed you know that you are of a priestly tribe, don't lift up your hand to the Almighty God. If you are in the house and you know that you belong to a priestly tribe, I can't see any hand up. If you belong to a priestly tribe, can I see your hand up? How many of us belong to priestly tribe. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now I know where the problem is. Maybe I better ask another question. To what tribe do you belong then? Eh? Praise the Lord. To what tribe do you belong? Okay. Please quickly open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 5. The book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 10. Let's start from verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, out of where? Every kindred. Asians, Africans, Anglo-Saxon, Americans, American Indians, all sort of nations, and has redeemed us from every nation, all sort of nations, and has redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Look at verse 10. Verse 10, let's read together. And us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign where? On the earth. How many priests are in the house? Praise the Lord. How many priests are in the house? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Can we read together? 1 Peter 2, 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise the Lord. How many priests are in the house? Praise the Lord. No wonder many of us do not realize that we belong to the priestly family. And that is why we behave unpriestly. Now that you know from today which tribe you are from, I pray that the Lord will empower you to behave like a priest in the household of God in Jesus' name. Amen. It is one thing to be something, and it's another to realize who you are. That's why I like the movie Coming to America. Praise the Lord. Somebody that is of a kingly makeup will always behave like one. You know? They say you don't even have to. Don't say anything. The behavior will tell you what the person is made up of. Am I right? You just know. If you take somebody who is a slave and you dress them up with robe and dress them up properly and make them, you know, look like they are a king, what do you think will happen? They will behave like a slave. It's a matter of time. Until we get it in our consciousness who we are in Jesus Christ, we will never behave like children of God. Until it enters our consciousness that the only reason that God has saved us is what? In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, what does it say? That we will show forth the praises of him who has called us from darkness into his marvelous light. In other words, God has bought you, God has redeemed you, God has saved you for a purpose, to demonstrate to the world his unimaginable power, how it can change lives. I'm sure many of us know people who lived wayward lives and they became children of God, and the same people became somebody that you can rely on, somebody who is dependable, somebody who is honest, somebody who is faithful. I'm sure we know people like that. In fact, I remember when we started the house fellowship in 1999. Is mommy in the house? No. She will testify to this. I remember when we were giving testimony, one of the brothers just came up and said, "You just have to see this brother. What a wonderful brother." And he came up and said how what God has done. He used to be an armed robber, but God touched his life. If he didn't tell you, you would never know. He became a reliable person. He became somebody, you know, you could trust, somebody you could walk with, because his life changed. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 32 verse 25 to 29. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, let him come to me." And all the Levites, the priestly tribe, gathered together to him. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor." And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. And Moses said to the Levites, "By your obedience to God's command, you have consecrated yourself today as priests." So how do you consecrate yourself to God as priests? How do you? By your obedience to God. That is the magic. That is the word. So, even if we lift up our hands to the Almighty God, if we have not learned to yield and obey him, we have not consecrated ourselves. He said, "By your obedience." By your obedience. By your obedience to God's command, you have consecrated yourself today as priests to the Lord, each man at the cost of being against his own son and his own brother, that the Lord may restore and bestow his blessing upon you this day. Praise the Lord. How many of us understood what the Levites have just done? What we read here. How many of us understand it? I like the English, the way it's written. How many of us truly understand what happened there? How many of us? Okay. What happened is this. The children of Israel backslid. Because Moses was not there. Aaron, the brother, older brother, who should have known better, gathered the people together and listened to the voice of the people. Because they said, "We cannot see Moses anymore. Where is he? We want to serve a God. Let's make for ourselves God." And Aaron, who loves to listen to the people and their voice, obliged them. And you know, it wasn't once that Aaron did that. In other ways, you will see, he will always want to be on the side of the people against God. And Moses came and said, "What are you doing? What is this? What are you people up to? Against God?" And of course, as usual, there were excuses. There were excuses. There were reasons. Look, let me tell you, and I've said it before, we will always have excuses why we should not do what we ought to do, and why we should do what we ought not to have done. There will be good enough reasons. They had good enough reasons. And Moses came and said, "Because you have done this, now there has to be a division. There has to be a dividing line between those who are for God and those who are against God. Because there's no neutral ground." I've said it before. There's no neutral ground. You are either for God or against Him. If you think, you apply sense, and you say, "No, I don't want, you know, nobody will know." There is no neutral ground. You are either for God or you are against Him. And Moses called for a demarcation and said, "Look, come. Let there be a division in the house. If you are on the Lord's side, come to me. If you are on the side of the enemy, go there." And only the Levites walked and went to meet Moses, and they were on the Lord's side. And Moses said, "Now, you children of Levi, take your sword. Start to kill your brothers." They were of the same seed. He said, "Start to maul them down." And the Levites went and killed 3,000 men who were not on the Lord's side. I'm not asking us to pick sword and start killing people. We are not Boko Haram, praise the Lord. But what I'm telling us today is this. Either the situation has not changed, and that in the world we are living in, even right now, every day we have to be making decisions whether we will be on the Lord's side or we will be on the other side. Every little decision we are taking underlines that is a decision whether to be on the Lord's side or on the other side. Every little decision, think about it. Every of our daily decisions, we are deciding whether we want to be on the Lord's side or on the side of the enemy. As long as the earth endures, there will always be a division between darkness and light, righteousness and unrighteousness. We have to decide which side we want to be. There will always be a demarcation between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, the creator and the creature. There will be a demarcation. There will be a demarcation between God and the popular culture. And the decisions we take will tell what side we are. It is not so much what we say. It is often our choices that tell people where we belong. Am I right? Because we can say one thing and make a choice that is against what we have just confessed. But by that choice that we make, people will know where we belong. Praise the Lord. We have to make a choice between God and the multitude. I will tell you, simple choice. For example, we say there's fasting and prayer. Let's fast, let's pray, let's come together, let's pray. And your friend says, "Oh, look, I have a small party going on there." It falls on the same time, same day, at the fasting and prayer. How many of us will abandon our friends to come to pray? Who will fast and pray, particularly when there's free food, celebration galore? How many people will come? That is choice. That is part of the choice. We are choosing on whose side we belong. It's as simple as that. I've told people what I've seen in Australia, particularly children of divorced parents. They've had to go through a lot. Sometimes many of them have to, you know, have to make choices where they want to be. Recently, there was a story in the news. There were 3-4 kids of Italian. Their father is Italian, mother is Australian. They brought them here. You remember the drama? The court gave judgment that they had to be returned to Italy. And they got to the airport, and the mother suddenly said she didn't know where her kids were. Court had already given judgment. So it's been taken to the High Court now, because they didn't want these kids to go. And what will happen is this: a lot of times the kids will may even say, oh, we want to go to Italy. The mother will say, no, say, you want to stay in Australia. And kids are having to make choices between parents. I've told us before, one of the phenomena that I see with such kids is this. I've seen that a lot. When the kids go to visit their dad, the father will do everything to please them. Even when they are doing what is wrong, he will be afraid to say no to them, because he wants the kids to like him more than they like their mom. And when the kids get to the mom will do the same thing. And I see parents will say, oh, every time they visit their dad, they become uncontrollable. Or with their mom, they become uncontrollable, because nobody wants to take decisions. Nobody wants to be on the wrong side of somebody. But decisions still have to be taken, especially when it has to do between God and a man. When we are on the side of God, we'll be people who will publicly identify with God. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. Romans 1:16. If we are on the Lord's side, we will not be ashamed. Now, one thing that is very important in verse 26 that we read is this. When Moses asked the people to choose which side they belong to, he wasn't asking the children of Israel to choose between being on the Lord's side or being on the side of pagans. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. It wasn't a different tribe. It wasn't a different people. These were also people of God, but Moses called on the children of Israel and said, separate yourselves. In other words, there can be people who say they are children of God. If their lifestyle, if their way of life is ungodly, you will still have to make a choice. So it's not enough to say, because this person says he's a Christian. I remember I was having a discussion with somebody yesterday, and the person said, referring to somebody, and he said, one Mr. So-and-so who called himself a pastor. And I said, call himself a pastor? He said, yes. And he went ahead and told me how fraud was perpetrated in the bank, and the guy was named amongst them. You may work in the same establishment as such a person, but you still have to separate yourself from him. Who is on the Lord's side? Those on the Lord's side are the people who make sacrifices for the kingdom. We've been talking about water baptism, and we have talked about how our being immersed in water signifies being dead. And I remember we learned last week that the one who is dead can no longer sin, no matter how powerful they may be. Haven't been to be a doctor or participating in postmortem on people who were of influence, influential people, and when they die, they just die like everyone else. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, I can't remember who was saying it. He said, do you notice that every child that is born, when they are born, they come out like this, you know, holding on to the world and say, this is my, praise the Lord. And he says, everyone that is dead, what happened to them? He said, they open their hands, not my own, and release everything. So, how be it, if truly we are dead with Christ, how come we hold on to the world as if it is our own? Why would we not open our hands to say, he does not belong to me? Because the Bible said concerning Abraham, he said he realized that he was a sojourner, he was a pilgrim. Who is a pilgrim? Somebody who is passing through. Many a times we don't behave like people who are passing through. We behave like people who have come to settle. Like we have come to settle that this is the final place. This is not the final place. We are in transit. Praise the Lord. How many of us have missed our flights where we are supposed to be transiting? And we so much enjoy the airport and we miss our plane. How many of us have done that before? Once, okay. You know what it is like. In those days, when I first came to Australia, there was no plane from Nigeria to Dubai or South Africa to bring us here. We used to go from Lagos to Amsterdam, Amsterdam to Singapore, Singapore to Melbourne. So you'll be 26 hours in flight, and in some of those places you have to stay like 12 hours to connect. I never missed my flight once. Why? Because every time you get there, you just know you are in transit. No matter how long, you know you are in transit. In fact, I've been in airports for 18 hours before. In fact, I've been in a place, the first time I was in Schiphol, I had to sleep in the hotel there for about 2 days to connect my flight, yet I didn't miss my flight because I knew I was in transit. I wasn't in Australia yet. We are not in heaven yet. So we have to do all that we have to do in order to get there. And you'll get there in the name of Jesus. Those on the Lord's side will speak against evil. Of course, not people. They will speak against evil. They will not tolerate unrighteousness. And they will do righteousness. Can you open your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5 and 6? Deuteronomy 4, verse 5 and 6. You know, I like Deuteronomy 4, Deuteronomy 5, 6, 7, 8. As God was instructing the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 4, 5 and 6. He said, behold, I've taught you statutes and judgment, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. In other words, Moses was telling the people of God, he said, the word of God becomes your wisdom. Anything outside the word of wisdom becomes foolishness to you. If it does not line up with the word of God, then don't do it. That is the way we do righteousness. Now, let me quickly show you something. Go open to John chapter 14. John 14. We are going to read verse 21 to 25. John 14, 21 to 25. Because most people misunderstand our place in Christ in this particular dispensation. John 14, 21 to 25. It says, and I want us to listen to this. He said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Who are the people who love Jesus? Who are the people who love Jesus? Those who keep his commandment, those who hear it and keep it, those who hear it and keep it, those who hear it and keep it. It is not those who hear it, but those who hear it and do it, they are the ones who love Jesus. If we have not come to the point of doing what he says, we have not loved him. He said, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me," listen to this, "if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we come unto him and make our abode with him." Now, I want you to take note of that particular verse 23. If a man love me, what will he do? He will keep my word. He will do my word. If we say we love Jesus, if we say we are on the side of the Lord, what are we going to do? We will do the word of the Lord. Maybe you are not seeing what I'm saying in that verse. He said he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. So there is one condition for God to love his children. What's that condition? To keep his word. The one that keep my word, my Father will love them. I know we like universal love, but the Father will love. And those of us who are parents here, okay, maybe when your kids grow up, you know what I'm talking about. If there's somebody who is always who does what you ask them to do, and the one who doesn't do, who do you think you are going to be pleased with? The one who does your bidding, the one who says, you say do this, you are sure that they are going to do it. The one you cannot rely on that they will do what you ask them to do, you are not likely to be friends. They are your kids. That's true. But I'm telling you, you are not going to, it's not likely that the kind of thing that will flow from you to them, you know, will be the same. No. Let's open to John chapter 15, verse 10. John 15, verse 10. Leave this, read it again. 15, verse 10. He says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love." So the condition for Jesus abiding in the love of the Father was that Jesus kept the commandments of the Father. And Jesus is saying the same thing to you and I, that if we are going to abide in his love, we have to keep his commandment. In other words, it is not Christianity anyhow. It is not Christianity anyhow. It's not Christianity with careless abandon. It's not Christianity without restraint. Remember where we started from in Exodus chapter 32. The Bible said Moses came and he realized that the people were in disorder and without restraint. That is what happens when we listen to the voice of the people and not the voice of God. There will be no restraint. And we wonder why life is the way it is. Parents are crying. Everybody is saying, you know, what is happening here? You know, and we It is simply because we have jettisoned the word of God. There was a woman from New Zealand on the TV. She's worked in the prison system for many years. She specializes in counseling parents on raising their kids, particularly boys. And before then, I also heard a woman also speaking and telling parents. He said when your parents say, "Mommy, Daddy, I hate you," he said, it means you are doing a good job. In other words, you are taking a stand, and there is a standard, and you are saying, "Look, in our home, this is what we do. In our family, this is what we do." How many times my kids came back home and said, "Look, my friend do this, my friend do that." I said, "Look, I'm not the parents of your friend. We are who we are, and this is what we do in this house. There are rules." So also, as children of the living God, we cannot live anyhow. We are constrained by the love we have for God, because He first loved us while we were yet sinners. The Bible says Christ died for us. And the Bible says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends." If Jesus can go that far, what can we not do in order to cut His love and to remain His love? He says, "This the way to remain in my love is to do my commandments." Only those on the Lord's side will do what God asks them to do. Every time we are not doing what God asks us to do, we are choosing not to be on the Lord's side. There's no other way to it. In other words, the other implication of it is this: every time you choose not to be on the Lord's side, you cannot expect that the presence of God will go with you. And Moses realized that it's a dangerous thing when His presence doesn't go with you. His presence will go with you in Jesus' name. When we're on His side, the Bible says, those on His side, they will be promoted above their fellows. Many of us want to be promoted above our fellows, but we don't want to be on God's side. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9, He said, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, had anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows." And the condition for that, it was because He loved righteousness and hated iniquity. So in other words, if you love righteousness and you hate iniquity, the Lord will anoint you with the oil of gladness above your fellow. In other words, if you are going to be glad, what do you think is happening in your life? It means things are working out well for you. Let's look at a few things that anointing will do in your life. If God will anoint you, there are a few things that the anointing will do in your life. I want you to open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11. I want us to read verses 2 and 3. So if you say you've got the presence of God with you, if you say, "Oh yes, you know, I have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God is with me," and so on, you will see there are certain things that will happen in your life when the Spirit of God come upon your life. Isaiah chapter 11 verses 2 and 3. It says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." Let's begin to read what will happen. "The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might." Praise the Lord. "The Spirit of knowledge and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding, and his delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, neither decide by the hearing of his ears. That is what the Spirit of God does. Praise God. In other words, when you have the Spirit of God, not only will you be wise, and I'm talking about godly wisdom, as you see in James chapter 3 from verse 13. No, worldly wisdom. He said he will make you wise. He will make you quick in understanding. That Spirit will give you counsel. You will know what to do. And what to do will fall in line with God's plan and purpose for your life. That's why the Bible says that he orders the footsteps of the righteous by his Spirit. And the Spirit of might. In other words, not only do you know what to do, because wisdom is to know what to do, God will also give you the ability to do it. That is might. Praise the Lord. The Spirit of knowledge, and I like this one, and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. So, it's the part of the distribution of the Spirit of God that you are obedient, that you fear God. So, everyone who says he's a child of God and does not fear God, they don't have the Spirit of God. Because when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you will fear God. He also says that you will stop judging by what you see or by what you hear. So if somebody comes to tell you something, the Spirit of God will minister to you. You will never judge by just by sight anymore. He said, for we live by faith, or live by faith and no longer by sight. And I like it as we read it in John during the Sunday school this morning. He said, as the wind blow. Jesus was speaking, he said, as the wind blows, and no one knows where it is coming from or where it is going. He said, so is he that is born of God. In other words, the Spirit of God will be the one moving you. Praise the Lord. That is why you will rise above your fellows in the name of Jesus. When you're on the Lord's side, that is when you become entitled to life and peace. You become entitled to life and peace. Those who are not on the Lord's side, go and read Psalm 73 very well. Go and read Psalm 73 very well. Those who are not on the Lord's side, the devil is just reserving them for when he feels like. He will just pick them. My mom used to raise fowl. My old woman. Up to now, she still raises fowls in the village. Praise God. And when I get home, and she's delighted to see me, usually the first thing she will say is, go and take one fowl and kill it for John. Praise the Lord. No, I'm serious. The one who is not on the Lord's side is just like that in the hand of the devil. Anytime he likes. Every time. And that's why I told some people, you see, when I hear people of God, recently I was reading the newspaper and they said, one pastor said, my wife is a witch, my this is me. And I said, wow, your wife is a witch? You're a pastor? I'm telling you. When the apostles, when they encounter people with a different spirit, what happened? I remember in those days when we offended my mom. If my mom wants to tell you that you are in trouble today, he said, today we are going to enter the same trouser. In other words, is it that something has to happen? Wherever you are as light representing God, the spirit of the devil has no place there. It cannot contain the two of you. One has to live. Praise the Lord. That's why you have a life of peace. That's why you have life. Because the enemy cannot just pick you up and do whatever he likes with you. I've told my wife very many times before, And I've told my family, I said, when my day comes and I pass away, please don't ever think somebody killed me. Oh, I've been saying it. And I'm saying it. Don't ever think it's somebody who killed me. Eh? Because my life is hidden in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. You have to go through him first. If God says, go and read Isaiah 57. If God says, my time has come, then my time has come, then I will go. When I finish my assignment, John the Baptist had finished his assignment. When the king killed him, it was unfortunate that he died in the heart of the king, because the Bible said he came. This is he who has come to say, who has come to prepare ye the way of the Lord. That was his assignment. Fini. And once the one who his way he has come to prepare arrived, what was he doing on the stage anymore? There was nothing else for him to do. He had prepared the way, and that one has come. That is why the Bible says, of all those that were born of women, there was no one that was greater than John the Baptist, because he completed his assignment. In another place, he said he did no single miracle. He just went and said, the kingdom of God is here. Repent. The kingdom of God is here. Repent. The kingdom of God is here. Repent. The kingdom of God is here. That was his assignment, and he came and he did it. You will do your assignment in Jesus' name. You only fulfill your assignment when you are on the Lord's side. What you are saying does not have to be palatable. It doesn't have to be exciting. Yours is to do what God has asked you to do. Because life and peace is in Jesus. In Deuteronomy chapter 32:39-43, he's the one. He kills, he makes alive, he wounds, he heals. Everything belongs to him. When you're on the Lord's side, the Lord will set you apart. I said the Lord will set you apart in Jesus' name. Let's go to the book of Numbers chapter 3, 44-45. I've shared this with us before. Numbers 3, I'm just saying it for emphasis again. Something I noticed about God is this. God recognizes those who are on his side. So when it comes to promotion, there will be the people that he's going to promote. I told her the story of Mordecai. When it comes to lifting up somebody, they said, let's open the book of remembrance. If you don't serve the Lord and you think God will just remember you, like our brother was saying, he said, let's put something in our bank account in heaven. Cornelius too, the Bible said, God remember his arms. What will God remember concerning you? You will not help a Christian brother. You will not help anyone. You will not intercede for people. What account will you keep in heaven? What account? Numbers 3, 44-45. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. Praise God. What happened? The Levites were on the Lord's side. Right? They were the only people who said they were on the Lord's side. And when the time came for God to make a choice, he chose which people? The Levites. Who was the firstborn of Jacob? Reuben was the firstborn. He said, in place of him, take the Levites. That is when the first becomes the last. You will not become the last in Jesus' name. But you can only occupy your position and be preferred when you are on the Lord's side. It doesn't matter how many people are on the other side. It doesn't matter how many people. Don't join multitude to do evil. That's what the Bible says. You shall not follow multitude to do evil. Even among the children of God, people who will stake their life for God are the people that God will use and recognize. I told us the other time, of all the people, the seven people that were chosen at the first set of deacons, when I read out the names here, none of us could remember them. And we knew of only two people. We knew of Philip and Stephen, because they chose to distinguish themselves. You will distinguish yourself in Jesus' name. Of course, all other things are embedded in being on the side of the Lord, divine healing. I was telling, you know, I've told us before, I said, look, if you want something to work for you, why don't you tie it to God? Why don't you put God first in that thing? Now I've had two people come out and give testimony and say, Father, increase my tithe. I say, Father, increase my tithe. They didn't say, Father, give me plenty of money. Increase my tithe. But there's no way your tithe will increase when the Lord has not blessed you. So with me, the Lord will bless you, and then you have more than enough. You have more than before for it to increase. And of course, those on the side of the Lord are the people who are positioned for revelation. Those things that will make life work for them. Can't you see that there are some people that it just look like they know when to move. They know when to do things. They just know what to decide. And I'm telling you something. It is not based on wisdom. It is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. And by the time you are taking that decision, it may look like foolishness to the world. Even to yourself. It may look like you don't even know what you are doing. But when the end result comes, everybody will say, how wise you have been. I want us to open our Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 9. Deuteronomy 29, verse 9. God will start to reveal himself to you when you are on his side. Remember in James chapter 1, those who are always wavering, the Bible says they cannot receive anything from the Lord. But those who will stand upon the word of God, he said 29 verse 9, he says, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. God wants to prosper his children. But the way we can manifest that we are on God's side is to keep his word. Is to keep the word of the covenant. You will then enjoy divine protection. And the one I love the most is what I call transferable covenant. Transferable covenant. Transferable covenant. Is the covenant that goes beyond you. Is the covenant that your children will enjoy after you. The kind of covenant that David enjoyed and is still enjoying till today. Transferable covenant. Because God says he's going to show mercy to those who love him unto how many generations? He said he will repay the wicked up to the fourth generation and show mercy to them that love him up to 1,000 generations. Praise the Lord. Up to 1,000 generations. Can you imagine that the decision you take now, if you're on the Lord's side, may affect 1,000 generations to come after you? And that the decision you take now may affect up to the next four generations after you. That's if they are not wiped off. Eli, because of his decision, the Bible said, he said, today, he said, I'm going to exterminate everything that peace against the world. You know what that means? It means every man in that house. And the same day, they all died because of decision. Because of decision. And I'm telling you, even in this dispensation, those who decide to stand for God, those who decide to stand for God, God will show them his faithfulness, because the Bible says Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. The formula still works. And you'll be a beneficiary in Jesus' name. Can we just rise on our feet? You'll be a beneficiary. He's still showing faithfulness. He's still showing faithfulness to those who are faithful to him. When you are faithful to him, God will show you faithfulness. He will remember. He will remember that you have been good to him. He will remember. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Daddy. I am on the Lord's side. I will never go back. No welcome, man. And the Lord God is by my side. I am on the Lord's side. I will never come back. I am an overcomer. And the Lord God is by my side. When you take the bread, please, I want you to eat the bread, but keep the wine. We are going to share it together. And as many of us as are on the Lord's side this morning, you start to live a life of an overcomer. You start to live a life of an overcomer. Because you are on the Lord's side, and you will never give up. It does not matter how tough, how difficult your situation may be, because you have chosen to be on the Lord's side. The Lord has declared that you are reserved for him. That he has chosen you in preference to your neighbor. He has chosen you in preference to your brother. He has chosen you in preference to your competitor. He has chosen you in preference to the wicked. He has chosen you in preference to the multitude, because you have chosen to be on the Lord's side. He has chosen to establish a transferable covenant with you. That is the God we serve. That's the Lord we serve. Thank you, Daddy. I want you to begin to speak to the Lord and say, Daddy, I'm on your side. I am on your side today. Let your presence go with me all the days of my life. Because I've chosen you to be my wisdom, to be my knowledge, to be my understanding. I've chosen you, Lord, to be my inheritance. I've chosen you, Lord, to be my lot and my great reward. I've chosen you, Lord, to be my destiny. I will never give up. I will never give up. I've chosen you above life. I've chosen you above gold. I've chosen you above the world. Speak to the Lord. Let him know of your choice. Speak to him. Because God wants to cut a covenant with you. The covenant of life. The covenant of peace. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Let us drink, please. Speak to the Lord and say, "Daddy, anything that will take me away from your presence, separate me from such in the name of Jesus. Separate me from everything that will take me away from your presence, that I will not be able to eat and dine with you, that I will not be rest assured of your love and your covering. Daddy, separate me from such in the name of Jesus. Because your love is to them that do your will. Your love is to them that do your commandments. I need your abiding presence, Daddy. Therefore, everything that will separate me from you, my Father, my God, today, separate me from such in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray." We have just eaten of the Lord's flesh and drank his blood. Where the blood of Jesus is, sickness cannot reign there. Infirmity cannot take hold of that life. Why don't you speak to the Lord and say, "Daddy, I've eaten of your flesh and I drank your blood. Every ailment in your body, report that ailment to Jesus. Your blood is not the blood of hypertension. Your blood is no longer the blood of diabetes. Your blood and your body is no longer a place that cancer can inhabit. Every virus that is troubling your body, they are reported to the throne of God right now. Because the presence of God is in you right now. Because the glory of the Lord has come upon you. Everything that is not of him, we have to vacate right now in the name of Jesus. Therefore, I say diseases leave now in Jesus' name. I say infirmities begin to leave in Jesus' name. I say sickness begin to leave in Jesus' name. Hypertension, leave in the name of Jesus. Diabetes, leave in the name of Jesus. Every heart condition, begin to live in the name of Jesus. Barrenness, leave in the name of Jesus. Depression, I say pack your load in Jesus' name. Confusion, failure, pack your load in the name of Jesus. Every hopeless situation, because the King of Glory has come in. Every impossible situation, because the King of Glory is here. I say pack your load in Jesus' name. And the people of God begin to rejoice in the name of Jesus. Receive a new lease of life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' glorious and mighty name we pray.